The way I've always looked at it is that we serve our patients. We are their servants, and we do that for their care. Oftentimes, it's some of the most vulnerable moments in their life, and certainly an emotional moment in their life, but that's what we do for our patients. And so what does it mean to me? I'm really proud to see what's evolved over not only my 50 years, almost 50 years around here, but certainly over the last 115 years of Campbell Clinic, but 100 years of the residency program.
Welcome to the Now and Future of Orthopedics, a Campbell Clinic podcast. And I'm your host, Sam Coates. Campbell Clinic is over a century years old, and its physicians are recognized thought leaders in the field of orthopedics around the world. On this podcast, you'll hear the latest treatments and advancements in musculoskeletal care through research, innovation, teaching, and the writing of Campbell's operative orthopedic textbook. For more episodes, please search the Now and Future of Orthopedics wherever you get your podcasts. Now, let's get to this week's episode. Hey, everyone. This year is an exciting year for Campbell Clinic. The Campbell Clinic residency program is celebrating 100 years since its founding. In 1924, Dr. Campbell established the first orthopedic residency program to train orthopedic surgeons. To celebrate this special milestone, today we're going to hear from Chief of Staff Emeritus Dr. James Beatty, the current Chief of Staff Dr. Frederick Azar, and current Director of the Residency Program Dr. Derek Kelly. So please join us on this episode where you will hear the history of orthopedic surgery in the United States, the history of Campbell Clinic's residency program, the role that this residency program plays in the future of orthopedics, plus so much more. So please enjoy today's episode with Drs. Beatty, Azar, and Kelly. Dr. Beatty, thank you for doing this today. It's great to see you.
Thanks, Sam.
So to men and women listening to this podcast around the United States and other parts of the world, what's most important to you that people, what they should know about the 100 years this year with Campbell Clinic and its residency program?
Well, I think in the present moment, we would want people to know how we feel about the residency program. We feel that we have one of the best programs in the country and certainly in the world. And it fits in with the mission that we have at Campbell Clinic of providing the best orthopedic care that we can for our patients, teaching the next generation of medical students and residents and fellows, continuing our research that the residents are intimately involved with, and providing care to our community in the Mid-South region.
In the program here at Campbell Clinic, it's one of the oldest in the country, correct?
Yes.
How would you define, you said, one of the best here in the country and in the world?
I think that it comes down to the medical students who are applying for residency. You want the students to apply to the programs that, from their perception, have the best teaching and best experience as a young physician trying to become an orthopedic surgeon. And so I think we see that from the numbers of kids who are applying to our program and also from the quality of the medical students. They are the best of the best. And so when we're fortunate enough to have them either do a rotation with us and spend time with us or apply for the residency, we know that we're ultimately getting the best of the best.
You're coming up soon on 50 years of being affiliated here with Campbell Clinic. Is that correct?
Yes.
And you also came here for your residency program.
I did.
Could you speak to, given your decades of experience with your field, what can a great and well-run residency program, what can that do for someone's career?
A couple of things. The first thing is that the kids who come out of here and become orthopedic surgeons, we feel like we have our stamp on them. And with the history of our program, knowing that they trained here as an orthopedic resident, we know that when they go out into the United States somewhere, that they're going to be taking that tradition of providing great care for their patients, but also being involved in their community. And we know that a certain percentage of them are going to be involved in teaching and research that they've seen and participated in here in Memphis. And so I think that's what I've seen continue over the years.
Could you share how this program came together?
Well, this is quite an interesting story, actually. And so I'm going to go back in time to talk a little bit about Dr. Campbell. So Dr. Campbell was actually a pediatrician. And at the turn of the century, when x-rays came into being, at about that same time, he developed an interest in orthopedic surgery. And what he did was, during the early 1900s, orthopedics was not yet a specialty in itself. It was something that was practiced by surgeons who did everything. And what Dr. Campbell did was he went to Europe and he saw the European model where the chief of orthopedics was really the professor. And the professor had a group of young physicians underneath the professor who he or she was training. And he watched that model and decided to bring it back to Memphis and to Campbell Clinic. So he started his practice in 1909 as a solo practitioner. And then by 1919, he had built about a 60,000 square foot building in downtown Memphis that had two operating rooms, emergency rooms, inpatient hospitalization, all the makings of something that he planned to build. And at that same time, the medical school here in Memphis was started in 1911. So in 1921, he founded the Department of Orthopedic Surgery, which is a joint department between the University of Tennessee Health Science Center and Campbell Clinic. And in 1924, he started the residency program. So Dr. Campbell's intention was to develop a model that looked like the European model, where he was the professor, he had physicians who were working underneath him, but began the training program. So the residency actually started in 1924, hence our 100th anniversary this year.
Do you remember where in Europe he went?
If I remember correctly, he went to, I believe, Vienna and London and saw the models there of the type of specialty that orthopedics was becoming. Until that time, orthopedics had really been the treatment of trauma and infections, but it was developing as its own specialty to provide complete musculoskeletal care for the body.
So you're saying Dr. Campbell paved the way for orthopedics here in the United States?
He was definitely one of the first people to come back to the United States and begin that model. Now, there were others who were doing it in the late 1800s and early 1900s, but he was certainly one of the real leaders in orthopedics at the turn of the century.
I don't have this information in front of me, but the specialty of orthopedics, where does that compare to the other specialties of medicine?
Well, I think it's safe to say that orthopedics is the top specialty in medicine. I don't know how you could say otherwise.
I meant with, bringing that back here and creating this model and the expertise and focus on this specific type of medicine.
I think what was happening was that the field of surgery was being subdivided into multiple specialties in the early 1900s. So orthopedics was in the same generation with ear, nose, and throat surgery, urology, every other surgical subspecialty. They were all really developing in the early 1900s.
That's fascinating. I just can't help but think about the impact that we have today because of him.
Yeah, I think looking back on Dr. Campbell, I think it's safe to say that he really had vision, is the word I've always thought about for him. Not only in the courage and unique vision to start yourself as a solo practitioner in 1909, but to build a facility, then build a program. Dr. Campbell was intimately involved in the founding of the American Academy of Orthopedic Surgeons. That's our national organization in 1933. And then in 1934, he was one of the orthopedic surgeons involved in the founding of the American Board of Orthopedic Surgery, where we certify young physicians to be orthopedic surgeons.
What's important to you when you think about 10 decades? What do I and what do others need to know about each decade and the foundation that was built?
I think it's a real phenomenal honor to even say that our mentors, at least in Campbell Clinic, were able to continue what Dr. Campbell had started and to not only continue that tradition, but every waking moment try to make it better and try to improve it and continue to build the program. And you ask about what happened decade by decade. I can actually think of it that way and picture the few things that happened each decade that were important, I think. The first one was just beginning the residency program in 1924. The other thing that happened during the 20s was his ability to actually recruit physicians who he would train, but they would become part of his colleagues that were practicing here at Campbell Clinic. So he went from being a solo practitioner to someone who had a group of physicians working with him. And then once the residency program began in the 20s, it started off with just a few residents per year, but it gradually grew from 2 residents per year into 4 per year. And that 4 per year continued all the way into the 80s. So there's actually a 60-year timetable where the clinic was recruiting and matching 4 young physicians a year to become orthopedic surgeons. When I would speak with the senior people when I started in the 70s, and they were young physicians in the 20s and 30s, they actually could go back and tell what number they were. They would say, hey, I was resident number 21 or number 24, because there were so few people back in that time. You know, they knew what number they were. And now, 100 years later, we have well into the 400s of orthopedic residents who have trained here, and many of whom, of course, are still practicing in the United States. That's not even counting the countless medical students who've been through the program as medical students or from other medical schools who have spent a month with us, or international guests who have come here from around the world to spend time with Campbell Clinic physicians to be part of the clinic. And so the 20s really was the beginning of the program. The 1930s, the program grew, and Dr. Campbell was, as I mentioned, intimately involved in the founding of 2 big national organizations, and at the same time continued adding orthopedic surgeons to be part of the clinic and continuing to train young physicians to be orthopedic surgeons. When World War II broke out in the 40s, Dr. Campbell actually passed away in 1941. And so the clinic worked very hard to try to stay afloat in the early 40s by the senior people who were working here continuing to practice orthopedic surgery. But a number of the young physicians who were training at that time actually enlisted in the military. And so the clinic was going through the period of World War II of trying to continue to keep itself afloat, but also those who were dedicated to military service going on and serving. A number of those people came back after World War II was over, and some of them completed their residency. Some of them came back and continued practicing orthopedic surgery well into the end of the 40s. The 1950s was a real period of, I would call it an explosion in everything. Obviously, everything after World War II in the United States and every aspect of life took on a whole new generation of people. But what happened here was building the program. More physicians were recruited. The young physicians were still coming through in the number of 4 per year. And the number of faculty people or members of the clinic staff was slowly growing. Dr. Spencer Speed, who took over the leadership of the Campbell Clinic after Dr. Campbell passed away, really showed great leadership in keeping the clinic in high profile during World War II, but then building the program in the 50s by recruiting. The 1960s hit, and this was the beginning of, in orthopedics, it was really the beginning of subspecialization. You see, in the 1950s, every orthopedic surgeon was expected to do everything in orthopedic surgery, but the area of subspecialization was beginning to occur in the 50s and 60s, where someone would say, I'm only going to do hand surgery or only going to do sports medicine or pediatrics or any one of the other 10 subspecialties now. And Campbell Clinic was one of the first programs to welcome that and to say, this is where we think medicine is going. So we're going to continue that area of the young physicians who want to do general orthopedic surgery. They will be well trained to do that. But the residents who come out and decide they want to be fellowship trained, we're going to develop a track record of sending really great orthopedic residents to fellowship programs. And you can take that forward into the 70s, that continued to happen to a point where we developed such a track record of sending high quality young physicians to do fellowships that naturally every time someone applied for that fellowship after that, it's only human nature that those programs would say, well, look at the caliber of individual that's coming out of the program there in Memphis. We better probably give them some serious consideration. The other thing that happened in the 70s was just the explosion of biomedical engineering. So you had a lot of the young physicians who were applying for residency who had a background in engineering or in biomedical engineering, and that fit perfectly with orthopedics because of just this period of innovation in every subspecialty in orthopedics. The 1980s brought two things. The first thing was the program in the 80s, we decided to go from 4 residents per year. Actually, we were going at that time 4 every 6 months to just going 8 a year. And the program here in Memphis at Campbell Clinic has stayed that way since the 1980s. And then the other thing I think that happened then was that you saw that the area that started of subspecialization in the 50s and 60s was just now the standard. And so we are where we are today from the 1980s with about 10 subspecialties in orthopedics. Now, compared to 1982 when I arrived here, in 1982, only 10% of the orthopedic residents were doing a fellowship. Now that number is 99%. It's rare for the residents not to pursue fellowship training in one of the 10 subspecialties. And so, Sam, I think we go from 1909 to 1989 in 15 minutes.
You said earlier that you've been affiliated with this place for almost 50 years, coming right up on it. When you think about your own life, your work, your craft, what can you share about what this place means to you?
Oh, well, it's safe to say that I've spent my life here, my professional life here. To me, I think that there may be people who say that I think the whole idea that I gave my professional life to Campbell Clinic is really not true. I think it's more the other way around, that what I got from it was really the higher end of this. I certainly received more than I ever gave. I believe that our predecessors would just be astounded at what the program has become now, over 100 years later for Dr. Campbell, but certainly the residency program. I'm convinced that the caliber of residents that we're getting right now, as I mentioned earlier, they are definitely the best of the best. And we're fortunate that we can attract them to come to Memphis and come to Campbell Clinic, because they know that when they come here, they're going to receive education, they're going to learn surgical skills, they're going to gain responsibility and autonomy in how to make humanitarian decisions, how to become great decision makers, and ultimately excellent orthopedic surgeons. And at the end of all this, the one quality they have is why they went into medicine. They went into medicine to serve our patients. And that's what we do. You know, it's all a matter of words that you use and semantics. But we do orthopedic surgery. Yes, we take care of our patients. But the way I've always looked at it is that we serve our patients. We are their servants. And we do that for their care. Oftentimes, it's some of the most vulnerable moments in their life, and certainly an emotional moment in their life. But that's what we do for our patients. And so what does it mean to me? I'm really proud to see what's evolved over not only my almost 50 years around here, but certainly over the last 115 years.
Thank you for listening so far, Chief of Staff Emeritus Dr. James Beatty.
Absolute privilege.
And now let's get to current Chief of Staff,
thank you,
Dr. Frederick Azar, and the Director of the Residency Program here at the Campbell Clinic, Dr. Derek Kelly. Dr. Azar, Dr. Kelly, great to see you.
Yeah, great to see you.
Thank you.
Dr. Azar, from your experience with a residency program like here at Campbell Clinic or elsewhere around the country, what's the direct impact and the benefit to an orthopedic surgeon that really wants to be in this space, in this field? How can a great program really drive impact to them?
Well, at the end of the day, this is about patient care. And orthopedic residents come to learn
they come here for the surgeons. They want to learn how to operate. So it's they want to learn skills. They also need to learn the knowledge. And that's what most residencies focus on, knowledge and skills. But we also focus here on professionalism or behavior, which is the passive or hidden curriculum. And that means that we impart, we hope to impart passively to our trainees how to treat people, how to treat patients. And that's a big part of what we try and do here, not just the skills and the knowledge, but also the behavior, the professionalism.
And are you saying behind that, that that's extremely important and maybe it could be overlooked at times?
Well, it's happening whether we recognize it or not. I think we recognize it here. I think a lot of programs recognize it. But if you don't recognize it, you're missing out on that part that's really important. At the end of the day, it's about patient care. You know, which, what can you do to take care of our patients in the profession of orthopedic surgery? So hopefully we're doing that here. My point is that you need to have an awareness that you're teaching passively too, in addition to actively teaching how to operate, how to treat patients in the office and learning the knowledge. But just how to treat people in general is really important too.
And Dr. Kelly, you chair this program today, but you went to the University of Arkansas for your time here, whereas Dr. Azar came to Kimball Clinic. How would you answer that question from your own experience?
Yeah, so you brought up my residency training, which I would say is phenomenal, and they had similar goals. It was half the size of this program where I trained in Arkansas. We only had 4 residents per year, and this program is 8. But I think in orthopedics, we're very fortunate because orthopedic surgery is a very sought-after profession. We do get to pick from the best of the best from medical schools because of the competitiveness of getting into an orthopedic program. So we're very fortunate that we get to look at very high-quality individuals. From that, we try to choose people of very high character. That's really our focus of our interview and selection process for residents, because we want to bring people in of integrity, and then we want to teach this professionalism. Not only how they interact and deal with their own patients, but how they interact with people who work in the hospital, administrators, other physicians, consultants, the janitorial staff, anyone that they interact with, we want these to be high-character individuals. And so we're fortunate here. We get to pick from the best of the best, and then we get to try to make them better.
Dr. Kelly, how do you think Kimball Clinic would be different if it didn't have the residency program that it has today?
Well, I can tell you, I wouldn't probably be here. I mean, and many of us would not be here as well. I mean, the Kimball Clinic attracts people who want to teach and want to be part of research and want to be part of advancing the field of orthopedics. And a strong residency program is a key aspect to what all of us come into the Kimball Clinic to be a part of. So I don't know that the Kimball Clinic would be anything like it is today without 100 years worth of residency experience. The faculty would be completely different.
When you think about the future, what's most exciting to you?
Well, so I mentioned challenges, and I don't want that to be a negative. I mean, the challenges are the excitement. You know, there's always going to be something that's going to face the future of our profession and the young men and women who are going to come into this. But one of the most exciting things is, how are we going to tackle those challenges? How are we going to help them continue to excel and continue to take care of patients in the highest quality they can when we are faced with changes, financial restraints, and changes in healthcare? So the challenges are really the most exciting part.
Dr. Kelly, you were just talking before we recorded about the importance for people to do the reps, to do the work, and to have opportunity, and to do as much work as they can to hone their craft. Is that fair?
Yeah, of course. Yeah. And you were mentioning some challenges, and one of the challenges we're facing in modern healthcare is the erosion of the educational process for our medical trainees, not just in orthopedics and not just in residencies, but we have to make sure in this country that we continue to give the opportunity for our medical students and our residents and our fellows to learn how to become surgeons and practitioners. And they have to do that under a structured program. But as they gain those skills, we have to give them the opportunity to learn for the future of healthcare in this country. I mean, the next generation has to have the opportunity to learn. And they can't do that if their hands are tied. And they can't do that if they're not allowed to participate in the care of patients. So it's very important.
Dr. Azar, I know that Kimball Clinic is about to begin or has already started construction of another facility, $20 million plus facility in Cairoville, Tennessee here. I believe 9 locations up to this point. Could you speak to anything that is important to you about this residency program, working to make sure people are getting the best of the best hands-on experience, but also Kimball Clinic's commitment to continue to invest in this part of the country?
Well, residents can come here and see how it is to practice medicine at a high level. And, you know, a new office is all about patient access. That's what we're trying to do, is increase patient access and not you know, bring our services to the patients where they live, where they work, where they play. And that's what that's about. And we can show, we can demonstrate to our trainees that these are best practices to do so. As far as the way we practice as orthopedic surgeons, there's a lot to it. You want, at the end of the day, you want to live by the golden rule of medicine, treat patients like you want to be treated. It's pretty simple. It's not that complicated. But to get there is a lot. And there's a lot involved in it. And we in orthopedic surgery, there are a lot of areas where in the average orthopedic resident leaves here and does 1.2 fellowships. So in other words, they go out and they subspecialize in something beyond just orthopedic surgery in general. So there's trauma, there's pediatric orthopedic surgery, there's sports medicine, there's adult reconstruction, there's foot and ankle, there's oncology, there's spine, there's hand, there's shoulder and elbow. In other words, there are a number of subspecialties. So we want to expose them to everything because they're going to go out and they're going to subspecialize in that most likely. And that's a part of, as we look to expand our locations and upgrade our locations, it's all about bringing best practices to patients. And so the residents that come and train here can learn that too while they're here.
What may be overlooked?
Interesting, if you go back and look at history in the back in the 50s, 50s and 60s, we started having people subspecialize. It was something that was, orthopedic surgery was still evolving, and subspecialty practices and fellowships and things like that were not common. But Dr. Campbell, the people at the time who were at Campbell Clinic had the vision to say that, you know, we need to subspecialize, and that's where we started with hand and spine and trauma and things like that. The average orthopedic surgeon goes out and practices, they're in private practice. 90% of orthopedic surgeons are in private practice. It's a more controlled subspecialty type of practice. What you see here in the Memphis community, Regional 1, one of the busiest trauma centers in the country, Le Bonheur, one of the busiest pediatric hospitals in the country, is pretty unique. And to properly train someone to be an orthopedic surgeon, you want to see what's going to be like when you're out there with the 90% of people doing private practice. So they get exposed to all the subspecialties that I mentioned earlier. And that's really important because that's how most of them are going to go out and practice. About 10% in academics. Academics includes the level one trauma center, the pediatric hospitals. And so to really have good training, you have to be exposed to both. So our residents at any given time are spending half their time with a team approach to complex problems at a level one trauma center for adults or pediatrics. The other half of their time is spent one-on-one mini mentorships, six-week blocks of these little subspecialty exposures they get to treating patients, which is how most of them are going to go out and practice. But you really need both to be able to train someone at a pretty high level.
And Dr. Kelly, would you, going back to what you said earlier, that, you know, there's a requirement that you can't work more than 80 hours a week. So if you're going to come and you really want to see maybe what you love, maybe what you're not as excited about, but also the way it's going to be, you're going to get that experience and that exposure here.
Yeah, of course. And I don't want to push back against those rules and restrictions. Those are there for a reason, and I think they do make healthcare safer. So those are certainly wise to be there. I just want to point out that there's a challenge to learn this breadth of knowledge in 5 years, that those restrictions are certainly very appropriate. However, I do think we have the facilities here and the breadth and the patient volume for the residents to see these reps over and over again and really learn what they need to learn. And also to prepare themselves for the fellowship or the subspecialty that they want to choose. We expose our residents early to all of the subspecialty fields within their first couple of years so that they can really decide, is this the path that I want to take forward? And then we bring it back and allow them to see all of the subspecialties again in their fourth and fifth year. So they at that point, they have seen it once and now they're really kind of fine-tuning some of their education.
You're a teacher and obviously a surgeon. How would you describe it, the people that it's a fit for here?
Yeah, I guess I sometimes get to reflect on it to that level. You know, day to day, it's a lot of effort. It's a lot of intention. You're taking care of the patient. You're doing the administration. You're doing the research. You're teaching and training the residents and medical students. But periodically, when it slows down, you get to sit back and reflect on those things and how you may have been able to change the life of a patient or how you may have been able to impart some education onto a resident that they're going to then take on to their patients in the future. And yeah, I got to tell you, it's certainly enjoyable when you get to reflect on those things and it gives you some meaning, makes you happy.
Dr. Azar, anything to that?
Well, we're fiduciaries of our profession and we're responsible for training the future, the present future of orthopedic surgery. It's really a privilege to do what we do. And it's a blessing to be able to do it at a place like Campbell Clinic who values excellence in patient care, education, research, leadership, you know, giving back to our profession. So like Dr. Kelly mentioned earlier, we wouldn't be here if we didn't have a residency program. A lot of us, you know, we all buy into the mission here. And a big part of the mission of what we do here is training the present future orthopedic surgeons in our profession. And that's something that you buy into when you come here. Now, about a third of the people that are here didn't train here, but they buy into the mission. And the people that come back here, they're willing to come back. They come back for the people. They say, that's why I came back here. I went and did my fellowship and came back. And that means a lot to be able to say that people want to come back to where they train. You learn a lot about people when you're with them for 5 years, both ways. And it's a compliment to the ones that want to come back here and, you know, go and get to do a fellowship somewhere and bring something back to our program. It's also a compliment to people who've never been here before. They're like, they come along and they interview here and they're like, I want to be a part of this for my career, for the next 40 years.
100 years is a big deal. Is there anything we haven't talked about in the past, present, that we need to talk about and make sure we cover to celebrate this important milestone?
I mean, it's really hard with the weight of the way you asked that question to come up with some comment that gives something to 100 years of the quality of people who have been through this program. And I've only been a program director. This is going on my fourth year. And so I've played a very, very small part in what is in a tremendous legacy of excellence. Just to be somewhere in a paragraph of a single chapter of the book of the history of Campbell Clinic is truly an honor. This is a magnificent place and a place I'm honored to be a part.
I love hearing stories about our predecessors, and they're inspiring. And I think to Dr. Kelly's point, you know, we're responsible for training the present and future. I really think that it is an obligation that we have to give back to our profession. I'm happy to be able, and honored to be able to do it here at Campbell Clinic.
Dr. Azar, when you think about where Campbell Clinic is today, is there anything that's exciting to you about this residency program and where you see it headed?
The future of orthopedic surgery is very exciting. It's a technology-driven profession, and the future holds a lot of promise for the health and well-being of our patients in the musculoskeletal field. And there's a lot of things that we'll see going forward that we don't do today, that we do today we'll not do in the future. And we'll look back and think, gosh, I can't believe we had to do that to get patients better. Because it's going to be, orthobiology is going to be a big part of the future. And it may be taking a pill or a shot or something different instead of getting your joint replaced with metal, plastic, and cement. I mean, it's pretty exciting. That's probably not going to happen in any of our lifetime, maybe in the next 50 years, but it's going to happen. We have to be able to approach that in a way that's always best for the patient, that we don't really get ahead. We want evidence-based decision-making for our patients. We don't want to do anything that's going to harm our patients. So the future, though, is pretty exciting. And as we train the future of orthopedic surgery, we want them to have those same guiding principles in mind when new technology comes along, because that's really important too. You know, the hallway to my left right here has a photo of everybody who's trained here or worked here since Dr. Campbell. And I walk by it several times a day, and I can't help but think about every physician on that wall, and I think about how many patients they've treated in their career, because half of them are deceased when you walk down that wall. The other half are still practicing. Some are just recently out in practice. It's very moving to me to think about the lives that are affected. And so it's also a huge responsibility to think about, we got to put people out to uphold the professionalism in our profession, because it's really important. And so it's exciting. There are a lot of challenges that we've talked about earlier, but those challenges all equal opportunities. And so the future is really bright for our patients and for our trainees. I'm looking forward to what's going to happen going forward.
Dr. Kelly, following up to Dr. Azar's points there, one of those specifically about technology and evidence-based technology, when you think about the field of orthopedics, how would you define people, professional surgeons in orthopedics that have a forward-thinking mindset?
Well, so I guess the simple answer to that question is, I don't know. I can't imagine the entire future yet. But what I do know is the opposite of what Dr. Azar just said when he talks about the people who are up and down that wall. Something I also see is the people who are not yet on that wall. There's a lot of blank space. Half of that wall is still blank. And all the people that are going to come in and all the pictures and all the names that are going to appear on that wall, they're the ones that are going to answer the question that you just asked. Some of the brilliant ideas that some of these women and men are going to bring up, some of the questions that they're going to ask, some of the research they're going to do, and some of the innovations and technologies, that's the future of orthopedics. And I can't imagine yet what that will be, But I can tell you that Campbell Clinic is going to continue to train people, and we're going to continue to bring people in who are going to shape the future of orthopedics. And that's one thing that really excites me.
Congratulations on 100 years of this program.
Thank you.
Thanks so much for listening to this episode of the Now and Future of Orthopedics, a Campbell Clinic podcast. Be on the lookout for a new episode coming soon each month. And for more information about Campbell Clinic, go to campbellclinic.com and also search the Now and Future of Orthopedics wherever you get your podcasts. If you love this episode, please do us a favor, tell a friend, and leave a review. As your host, Sam Coates, thanks so much for listening, and we'll see you soon.